are on Kapitel Chof Vav. And Kapitel Chof Vav is an amazing Kapitel. Last week, the entire Kapitel Chof Hey was an introduction to this week's Kapitel. Last week's entire Kapitel was an introduction to this week's Kapitel. And this week's Kapitel, David HaMelech wrote after the incident with Bathsheba. And last week we had, I forgot, 20-some Pesukim that were solely an introduction to this week's Kapitel. David HaMelech, towards the end of his reign, we all know the story that he married Bathsheba, and he arranged for Bathsheba's husband to be killed in a war in an inappropriate manner, and was taken to task for it, and did teshuvah. And in fact, we learn the entire approach to teshuvah from the actions of David HaMelech. It seems like the whole thing is a little bit difficult to understand. But David HaMelech had a tremendous, tremendous desire, and that one of his tremendous desires was to build the Beis HaMikdash. Well, we discussed that before. And his other tremendous desire was to be a merit for Klal Yisrael. And in fact, David HaMelech davened to Hashem and said, how come it says that Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov, and doesn't say Elokei David? He wanted his own merit to be there with the Avos. And David HaMelech was so possessed by a love for Klal Yisrael that he said to Hashem, I want the kind of nishyayness that the Avos had. I feel that I've worked my entire life on perfecting my Avodas Hashem, and I want to grow even further. And how did the Avos grow? Avram Avinu had Nisayan after Nisayan. And every time he had it, finally until it led all the way up to Akedas Yitzchak. So, from all these Nisayanis, Avram Avinu became Avram Avinu. So David HaMelech wanted the same thing. Hashem told him, no. Don't ask for what you don't have. You're not ready for such a Nisayan yet. That was the Avos' approach to growth in Ruchnias, but it's not for you. But David HaMelech was so taken with his love for Klal Yisrael that he wanted to grow more, and he insisted that Hashem give him a test like he gave the others. And Hashem told him, you won't be able to pass such a test. But nonetheless, David HaMelech insisted. Hashem even told him, you know what? If I give you a test, it'll be in the realm of something to do with a woman. And still he said, I'm ready. Give me a test, Hashem. I can grow like the Avos did. Finally, Hashem relented, and David saw Bathsheba. And of course, he was unable to withstand the test, and he failed the test that he had so dramatically asked for. And that incident with Bathsheba colors the rest of his life. Chazal go over the many, many punishments that came to him for this, including his own son Avshalom rebelling against him. And every time the people started to lose faith in David HaMelech, it was because they were afraid that maybe he shouldn't be king anymore. Maybe he is really being punished because of his big, tremendous affair with Bathsheba. It colored David's entire life from that point. He wept day and night over this incident with Bathsheba that he asked for himself. And in fact, he asked Hashem, don't record the details of what happened in Nob. Don't let it be written down. And Hashem said, no, we're going to let it be written down that people will see that you were forgiven and how much Hashem loves David. It was an all-consuming thing, and it wasn't until even after David HaMelech's death, years later, that the people were finally convinced that David HaMelech had been forgiven. It wasn't until Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. And when he built the Beis HaMikdash and it came time for the Chanukah Sabayis, and they brought the Aron to come into the Beis HaMikdash, and God's Klal Yisrael was gathered there. I think I probably mentioned this before in another shir, because it's a very dramatic moment in Nob. They get to the Beis HaMikdash, they got the Aron, they got God's Klal Yisrael there, and Shlomo HaMelech makes a bracha on building the Beis HaMikdash, and the doors won't open. Imagine that, if you will. The doors won't open. They try everything. They try prying them open, forcing them open, sliding them open. They bring every technician, every construction engineer. They daven. and nothing happens. The doors of the Beis HaMikdash won't open. The entire Klal Yisrael is standing there for what should be the culminating moment of over 400 years of Jewish history since Yeshua ben Nun led the people into Eretz Yisrael, and the darn doors won't open. Imagine that scene. They only opened when Shlomo HaMelech asked in Davin B'Shem that they should be opened in the Sechus of his father David. And then the doors opened. And it was only at that moment that all of the people in Klal Yisrael, even the last remaining doubters, were convinced that David HaMelech had been forgiven. So this Maisa with Bat Sheva is something that the enormousness of it throughout Nach and throughout David's remaining life, and even after his life, is tremendous, yet it's something that he asked for himself. He was so intensely blinded by his love for Klal Yisrael and his desire to build the Beis HaMikdash, that he said, you know what, so far I haven't been Zaycha to build the Beis HaMikdash. I've got to grow more. How can I grow even more? Let's see how the Avos did it. David HaMelech's mistake, if you will, if you could say such a thing, is that he wasn't one of the Avos. He was trying to grow in a manner that wasn't appropriate for him. And despite Hashem's telling him that, he still insisted on this.
I don't want to digress too much into Adam Rishon, but Adam Rishon had the same kind of mistake, right?
It's David's mistake, if you can call it a mistake. The level of tzidkus of David, it's hard to for us to relate to it, but it was done completely l'shem shemayim. David was blinded by his love for Klal Yisrael and his desire to build the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, for 400 years, everybody read in the Torah, every single week, B'makom asher yivchar, in the place that I choose, there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. 400 years! B'makom asher yivchar, B'makom asher yivchar. Now along comes Shmuel HaNavi, and he tells David HaMelech, Hashem has chosen the spot, and we have the plans for the Beis HaMikdash. After 400 and some odd years. Finally, David HaMelech yearned so hard to build the Beis HaMikdash, yet here he is at the end of his reign, and he hasn't been zeichah yet to build the Beis HaMikdash. And he hasn't grown enough, so he sees, you know what, look what the Avos did. We say, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, because they were able to overcome their nisyonos. So give me a nisyon, and I'll do like the Avos did, and then it'll be also Elokei David, and I'll be able to build the Beis HaMikdash, and I'll be able to be helping Klal Yisrael through my own merit. Oh, very good. The Avos never asked for you.
Well, I never asked for Yisrael.
Correct. All right. Avram Avinu had this yainus that boggled the mind, if you think about it, just one of them. All right. Yet he never asked for a nisayon in his whole life. He took whatever Hashem gave him. But Chazal say there were really four different types of responses to Nishyonis. Hashem gave Nishyonis to Eov, and Eov rejected them. He wouldn't accept the Nishyonis that Hashem gave him. Avram Avinu had Nishyonis, and he took it in stride. Whatever Hashem gives me, I'll take. Hashem says, be makir of your son? Fine, let's go. No matter what Hashem says, nothing was too much for Avram Avinu. Right? Chizkiah HaMelech, later in Nach, and we don't want to digress too much, but he had Nishayinus, and he begged Hashem for mercy. David HaMelech says, Chazal saw the whip on the wall, and said, hey, use that on me. He went and asked for the Nishayin, right? But he was blinded by a passion, and that passion was a love for Klal Yisrael, and a desire to help Klal Yisrael, and to build the Beis HaMikdash, and to bring Klal Yisrael to where they were supposed to be. And that passion so blinded him that he asked for an avoda that wasn't his. It's true the avos grew through nisyonos, but they didn't ask for nisyonos. They took what Hashem gave them. David HaMelech should have taken what Hashem's given them. And in fact, Chazal say, let me read the exact word, it's very short, but Chazal say, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav. Al yivei adam atzmoy lidei nisayin. A person should not ask to bring himself to a nisayon. Why? Sheharei David Melech Yisrael. David was the Melech of all of Yisrael. Hevi Atzmo Lidei Nisayin. He brought himself to get a Nisayin, Benichshel, and he failed. Chazal say that this is not the way. You don't ask for a Nisayin. You take the Nisayin as Hashem gives you, and you make something of them, and you grow. But when David did this, so then of course David failed the Nisayin. And right after he failed this Nisayin, this was the first kapitel that he wrote. Alright? Kapitel Chaf Vav. Now Bathsheba, Chazal tell us, was destined to be married to David. So it seemed like, if Bathsheba was destined to be married to David, it's a bad plan then. Right? But it wasn't time yet. In other words, had David HaMelech passed this Nisayin, he would have eventually been able to marry Bathsheba in the appropriate time. Because it was destined that he would marry Bathsheba and Shlomo HaMelech would come from him. However, Hashem gave him this test by moving the timetable ahead a little bit and seeing what David HaMelech would do with it. And the ramifications throughout all of Nach and all of the next 1,000 years of Jewish history are felt all from this one moment in time, right, when David HaMelech's passions got the better of him. But his passions, it's not a passion for Bathsheba that got the better of him, it was a passion for Klal Yisrael. Was a passion to build the base of Mikdash, a passion to help Klal Yisrael. If he could get to the point where they not only said Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, but Elokei David, he could bring Klal Yisrael to the point where they could build the base of Mikdash and achieve the rightful place that they were supposed to have. And he was so blinded by that passion and that desire to do it like the Avos did, that he brought terrible tragedy upon himself. So the first pasuk, David HaMelech says, La David, this is David, Shafteini Hashem. So first word, David is talking to Hashem, judge me Hashem. And please give me a trial. Ki ani v'sumi halachti, is in my, I have walked in perfect innocence with Hashem. Uva Hashem batachti, and in Hashem I have trusted, Lo amad, and I will not waver. So I've walked in innocence. David HaMelech was sure that his perfect faith would be a shield for any test he could receive. But it wasn't. Because his perfect faith was only a shield for those tests which he was supposed to receive. It was not as much protection as he thought. Lo amad, I will not waver. You won't fail. I won't fail in the test that I want you to give me, Hashem. You know, when a person is in love, a person gets blinded to all kinds of things. A person, in Lahavdil, to use an example, if a man's in love with a woman, you can't talk sense to the person. Because the person is overcome by their emotions. So David HaMelech is overcome by his emotions. Lo Emma, don't worry, I won't waver, I won't fail. I'm so in love with Klal Yisrael, alright? And I'm so in love with you, Hashem, that there's nothing that I can't do for you. He says to Hashem, in a very strong way, on Pasuk Beis, V'chaneini Hashem v'naseini, examine me and test me. Sarfa chiloisai, examine my intellect, v'libi, and my heart. What a thing to ask Hashem. First he says, Bechaneni, examining. What's a Bechina? So Bechina is a test within the normal bounds of what a person could do. You know, when you say in school, I'm having a Bechina on what I learned. A Bechina, to be Beichin somebody, is to test them within the parameters of what you expect them to be able to do. So the mashal that Chazal uses is if you're testing gold to see how pure it is. You expect gold to be a little pure, a lot pure, medium pure. You're being Beichin it. It's still gold. You don't expect it to jump off the table and become silver. When you give a kid a bechina in Chumash, you expect maybe the kid will get a 60, an 80, a 90, a 100. You don't expect the kid to regurgitate all of Nach back to you, nor do you expect the kid to not know where the Chumash is. A bechina means we have a certain boundary, and we're trying to determine where we are in that. It says, bechaini, give me a bechina. within the normal realm of what you would give a person. But then he says, Vinaseni, and give me a Nisoyan. So a Nisoyan is something completely different. A Nisoyan is something outside the bounds of what a person would normally be expected to do. When we say a person has a Nisoyan, why is it a Nisoyan a hard thing to do? Because it's not part of the normal boundaries of what you would expect. It's a real Nisoyan to take gold and make it into a silver. It's a real Nisoyan to take a sixth grader and give them a test on all shots. So David HaMelech is not enough to be Baichin me, to see what I can do within the parameters of what you expect. If I'm going to grow enough to stand up for all Klal Yisrael, you have to Naseini, you have to test me with Nisyoinus. You have to ask for Nisyoinus. And see, my intellect and my heart are pure and only have the purest of intentions. Ki chas b'cha la neged einai, because your kindness is before my eyes. V'his halachti, and I have walked ba'amitecho, and I've walked in your truth. So your kindness is before my eyes. He's saying, you know what? I've never strayed or failed up until now. Why? Because I always keep Hashem's chesed in front of my eyes. We talked before about the fact that David HaMelech had no room in his heart. We said in Kapitel Chav Gimel that lo ira ra. David HaMelech doesn't fear evil. What do you mean he doesn't fear evil? All the things you should fear. Evil is certainly something you should fear. The Yetzer Hara is something you should fear. But David HaMelech felt he had no room in his heart to fear anything because his entire heart was filled with Yerushalayim. He didn't have any room left. So David HaMelech is saying, Ki chas techa lenegde enai, you know what? Your kindness is the only thing before me. I have no room in my vision to see anything else because all I can see is Hashem. Now how did David HaMelech achieve that? You know, we talked about the fact that he became Melech when he was 21. When Shmuel and Avi came to anoint David HaMelech was 21 years old. And what had he been doing for the first 21 years of his life? He'd been a shepherd. And in fact, he had not accomplished anything that was outwardly notable to the point where when Yishai brought all of his sons to Shmuel HaNavi to see who was going to be the Melech, he didn't even bother to bring David. Because David, yeah, this kid, you know, we sent him out to be a shepherd. He didn't think, David had not done any out, what David was doing for the first 21 years of his life is concentrating day and night on the chesed of Hashem. When he took care of the animals, by night, he would focus on the stars and on the creation of Hashem, and he worked on his own mind and his own attitude to where all he thought about day and night was Hashem. Hashem was with him all the time. Ki chastecha lenegde enai, your kindness is before my eyes. David HaMelech is not making a grandiose statement. Oh, I'm David HaMelech. And Hashem, you are before me because I'm David HaMelech. He's making almost a simplistic statement of fact. All I can see is the chesed of Hashem. I don't see anything else. What do you want from me? There might be other things in the world. I don't see it. Ki chastecha lenegde enai, your chesed is always before my eyes. And I've walked in your truth. All I do is whatever Hashem wants. I don't see anything else. And that level of almost complete, simplistic betachon in Hashem is what made him think he could pass any test. So he says in Pasuk Dalet, Lo yishavti im nasei shav. I did not sit with any people that were dishonest. Im na alamim lo avo. And with the hypocrites, it translates here, I did not come together. I did not associate. Right? So he's again comparing himself like the Avos. You know, Avram Avinu refused to associate with people of false nature. He did not participate in building the Migdal. Right? When people came to Avram Avinu and they wanted to do something that was wrong or twisted, he refused to participate. So David HaMelech says, you know what, I didn't have any truck with those people either. See, I can do what Avram Avinu did. I don't have any truck with those people, neither did he. And I don't have anything to do with the hypocrites. So he's referring to, I guess even in those days there was such a thing as young men who tended to be skeptics and scoffers and what's I'm looking for, cynics about everything. So you see a lot of times you see that, and especially in young guys, Yeah, they have sort of an attitude of, the Novominska Rebbe said that one of the things of our generation is we're a generation of cynics. Cynics. We don't come up and say, Chas v'shol, no Hashem. But yeah, you know what, this guy got his position, yeah, you know, he knows Chaim Yankel, people are cynics. So David HaMelech says, you know what, even when I was young, even when those were the chevra of people I would have hung out with, I didn't have anything to do with those people. Those people that were cynics, those people that were scoffers, I didn't have anything to do with those people. Neither did Avram Avinu. In his low of woe, I didn't even come near those people. Anybody who didn't have the proper attitude, I stayed away from. So you see, Hashem, I can do it. If you listen closely, it almost sounds like the words of a person who's blinded with passion. I didn't come near those bad people. I don't associate with any people who are dishonest. All I do is think about you day and night. I can do just like your beloved Avram Avinu did. It almost sounds like a person who's so full of passion that he's not thinking it through clearly. So Nesi Kahal Meirum, I hate the gathering of evildoers, the Imr Shayim Lo Eshav, and I don't sit and I don't stay around with scoffers. David HaMelech is saying, listen, you know what? I'm careful where I walk. In Pasuk Gimel, he says he only walks where in truth. In Pasuk Dalet, he says, and I'm only associating with people who are not sinners, and I'm only, what's a better word than hanging out, living, residing with people who want to do the will of Hashem. So I don't talk to those people, I don't associate with them, I don't sit with them, I'm just working on Hashem, just like your other beloved of Ramavim. And he says, Erchatz benikayin kapai, I wash my hands in purity, Ve'asova as mizbachacha Hashem. And I circle around your mizbeach, Hashem. So he washes in innocence, in purity. What does that mean? This means that not only, Hashem, do I do teshuva like most people do teshuva. How do most people do teshuva? You do something wrong, and you do teshuva. Hopefully. But in theory, right, a person does something wrong, and either they recognize it then, or they recognize it later, or they recognize it when they got the Yom Kippur Machzor out and they get to that part. Oh boy, I did a couple of those, right? And a couple of these. Oh boy, better throw in a few of these alchets, all right? And oh gosh, I don't even look at page 26, and they start doing teshuva. David HaMelech says, you know, I do teshuva when I didn't do anything wrong. I wash in purity. I do teshuva when I didn't do anything. Maybe I did something I don't know about. Even if I didn't do anything, teshuva is still good for you. Because all I can think about is Hashem, I do teshuva when I didn't even do anything. And I circle the mizbeach. What does circle the mizbeach of Hashem means? It means that you can walk around the mizbeach in a full circle. When you walk around the mizbeach in a full circle, the mizbeach gets a chance to see every part of you. No part of your front or your back or your side can ever be hidden. So he's saying, Hashem, I walk around you, your mizbeach, and you can see all parts of me as I walk around in a circle, and all parts of me are equally dedicated to you, Hashem. I walk around in a circle, there is no aveira on any part of me, I am ready for the nisayim. I can even walk around the mizbeah. A bold claim. Most people like to put their good part forward. If a person's a big baal tzedakah, that's the part you want people to remember. You don't want people to remember that you also came 20 minutes late to davening. You know, you turn towards Hashem, the side you want to be seen. You turn towards people, the side you want to be seen. Says David HaMelech, I can circle your homies back. You can look every single part of me, and there is nothing in any part of me that is not ready for this disciple. So then he goes on in Pasuk Zion to say, "Lashmiya b'kol taida," and to proclaim in a loud voice, "Ulasaper kol niflei secha," and to recount all your wondrous deeds. I was thinking, you know what, Hashem? When I pass this test, it'll be a tremendous kiddush Hashem, right? "Lashmiya b'kol taida," in a loud voice, I'll thank Hashem, and it'll be a tremendous kiddush Hashem. "Ulasaper kol niflei secha," and I'll recount all of your wondrous deeds. That refers to saying Hala. I'll go on and I'll write further to Tehillim, and we'll say Hala while we're circling the Mizbeach. All you have to do, Hashem, is give me this desire and let me grow from it. David HaMelech goes on in Pasuk Ches to say, Hashem, Ahavti Me'ayin Be'Secha. I love the shelter, the covering of your house, Umekom Mishkan Kevedecha, and the place where your glory dwells. Now his house is obviously referring to the Beis HaMikdash. The Makom Asher Yivchar, that finally, after all this time, is going to get to be built. But David HaMelech is nearing the end of his reign, nearing the end of his life, and there's still no Beis HaMikdash. They got plans, they got equipment, they got materials, but they don't have the permit yet from the zoning commission, if you will. This is not only your house, your base of Mikdash, Makom Mishkan Kavadacha, even in the Mishkan. I love the idea of the Mishkan, where your Shekhinah dwelled, the forerunner, if you will, of the base of Mikdash. So David HaMelech says, Al tesof im chatayim nafshi. Now Hashem says, don't gather my soul with the sinners. Ve'im anshe damim chay, and my life with the men of bloodshed. Saying, you know what? Even if I fail, and he said, even if I fail, don't lump me together with the chatayim, with the people who do sins just like the common people do. And don't put me together with the damim, the people that shed blood. Because what I'm doing, Hashem, I'm only doing for the love of you. Even if I fail, Hashem, don't consider it like a common chait that people would do. Asher bidehem zima, in whose hands is conspiracy, mimi mala shochad. People who do avarice and who do bribery and conspire against you. Don't consider me to be those people. This is not a request that if I fail, it's an avera, Hashem, like a common avera. This is Vani Basumi Elah, and I'll walk in perfect innocence. Pedeni Vechaneni, redeem me and show me favor. Ragli Amda V'mishor, my foot is set on a straight path. V'makheli Mavarech Hashem, and in massive assemblies I will bless Hashem. He's saying this in perfect innocence. He's talking about now where my foot is going to be on the straight path. Just like what happened to Avram Avinu after the Akedah. After the Akedah, Avram Avinu was the perfect, quintessential, is that the word I'm looking for? Quintessential Eved Hashem. So David was like, you know what? And after this test you give me, Ragli Amda B'Mishor, my foot will be set on the straight path, just like Avram Avinu. And I'll be rededicating myself to being Mevarech Hashem, the Me'ak'ali Mevarech Hashem. And assemblies, I'll bench the name of Hashem. Just like Avraham Avinu did, because I'll pass this test just like he did. Powerful request David HaMelech is making, and one that is completely out of place. The Chavitzer Rebbe used to say, you know what, if your life is not like you will it, you need to adjust your will. If your life is not what you want, adjust what you want. David HaMelech had a path before him, his own path, but instead he wanted the path of the Avos, and that was the mistake. Zukin pointed out, Avram Avinu never asked for a Nisayan. He accepted whatever Nisayanis were given to him, but he never asked for a Nisayan. Chazal warned against asking for a Nisayan. How does a person know how much Yetzirah you can withstand? You have to want in life what you have. And what you have has to be what you want. Now, the reason David desired this is a little bit difficult for us to understand, David's passion for Klal Yisrael. But Hashem allowed him to stumble here. Why didn't Hashem just tell him, you know what, listen, I told you once, I told you twice, you can't do it. You know, my kids come, I say no, they come back, I say no again, they come back, I say no again, and eventually they stop coming, hopefully. Right?
no, do not
understand. All right, you know, all right, which part of no did you not understand of it? You're not ready for this. This is not your derech in life. No. So it comes back and Hashem says no. And he davens again, Hashem says no. It's just as easy for Hashem to say no as say yes. So why did Hashem finally give in? Well, Hashem is, dude, David, you're not ready for this disciple. Take my word as your father. Many times as a kid come and they're sure that what they're doing is perfectly right. Right now, I have an example. I have a son and we're discussing what yeshiva he's going to go to. So, in his ripe age of wisdom, he is sure that he knows all the ins and outs of every yeshiva and what should be done and how things should proceed, etc. Perhaps, as the parents, I pointed out, we might have a little bit more experience and knowledge here. So, why didn't Hashem just say no? Because he allowed David HaMelech to stumble to give us an example. An example of teshuva. We learn two examples of teshuva. We learn the example of teshuva of a tzibur from the Chet HaEgel, when Klal Yisrael did teshuva, and we learn how one does teshuva as an individual from David HaMelech. So the reason Hashem gave in the end was to allow us to have an example and to learn about how to do teshuva. What was it about David's teshuva that was so noteworthy? Nobody ever did teshuva before David. Certainly that's not true.
He did it immediately and he didn't even have a havamina
of answering anything. The normal derech of a person is when they're accused of doing something wrong, there's an initial defensive reaction. Even if they overcome it in a second, or whether they overcome it in a day, there's that initial reaction of, ah, okay, you're right. And sometimes the yeah goes on for like months while the person argues that, you don't know what I'm talking about, I should be talking in shul, it's a good thing to talk in shul, I'm talking about very important things in shul. Right? And eventually the person realizes that you're right and they do teshuva. And sometimes it's a quick thing. You shouldn't be talking in shul. Okay, fine, you're right. There was no, that's a little technical term. There was no with David HaMelech. There was no defensive reaction. When the Navi told him he did something wrong, he immediately fell and did teshuva. So Hashem let David's request be answered in order for us to learn from David HaMelech the idea of teshuva. There's an even bigger and deeper idea than just day-to-day teshuva. David HaMelech failure in this Nisayim is teaching us a lesson that a person is meant to be certain things and to do things in a certain way. And Hashem gives you opportunities to do things that you were meant to do, to accomplish what you were meant to accomplish, and to grow in a way that you were meant to grow. And a person can't lose sight of who you are and what's important. Even when you fail. So sometimes a person fails and now they have a whole complicated plan. You know what? I'm going to change the entire way I'm doing everything. Well, that's not necessarily important. You have to keep your in sports, they have an expression, keep your eye on the prize. You have to keep your eye on what you're supposed to be doing. David HaMelech should have been keeping his eye on the fact that he's supposed to be growing by whatever nisyonos Hashem gives David HaMelech, not Avraham Avinu. Each one of us is supposed to be growing according to whatever nisyonos Hashem gives us. And that's what Reb Zusha meant, the famous story that they said that Reb Zusha won't be scared when he comes to Shemayim when they ask him why he wasn't like Moshe Rabbeinu. Because we can answer that. But when they ask him why he wasn't like Reb Zusha, he'll be scared. So people bring that to illustrate all kinds of different points. But the point here that it illustrates is that person has what they have in life, and that's what they're supposed to keep in mind. Not to be distracted by goals, to be like that, and to do like this, and to do like this, but Hashem will give me the opportunities to achieve what I need to achieve, and I can't lose sight of that. I can't decide that the best thing for me is to be like Avraham Avinu, because I'm not Avraham Avinu. That was David HaMelech's mistake. David HaMelech's mistake, and we'll see throughout other kapitula how this comes back haunt him time and time again. I mean, David HaMelech didn't have enough nishanis in his life. How many times was he almost killed by Shaul? How many times was he on the run? He had, and this was before the mitzvah with Bathsheba, he had all these nishanis that he that he had throughout his entire life. Those were David's Nisyonis. He wanted one of Avram Avinu's Nisyonis. Should have given him one of my own Nisyonis. That's the lesson of David HaMelech in Gepitel Chavav, is keep your eye on what's important. Don't lose sight of who you were meant to be. And ask for the Nisyonis and the growth and the accomplishments that you were meant to do, and not that someone else was meant to do. Questions? Pardon? He wrote this Kvitl actually right afterwards. Yeah, explaining how he had made the request and what sort of it happened. He actually wrote this right after Vaisun Pat Shem. Even though it's sort of expressing his request to Hashem, he actually wrote it afterwards, sort of explaining the whole process of what had happened. Which is
5 of 9.
Which is, you know, even almost an amazing thing by itself, because to write this before it happened, you know, this demonstrates his love for Klal Yisrael. To write this before it happened, when you're confident it's going to work, you can see, right? You write this kapitzel, because this is going to be great, we're going to have this great test. To write afterwards, so that everyone could see, so the Levim could sing in a choir from the steps of the base of Mikdash about how bad you messed up, requires a lot of love of Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech says, you know what, I want people to learn from this, so I'm going to have the Levim stand up in choir with instruments on the steps of the base of Mikdash and sing about my failings. How many? Raise your hand if you're volunteering for that plan. All right. What? No, but he definitely elsewhere alludes to that. There's no question that David HaMelech believed that he did the wrong thing. And they asked for forgiveness, yes.
And would that have been known to everybody?
That David HaMelech thought he did the wrong thing?
Yes.
Yes. I don't think that the people in general would have known that David HaMelech regretted and repented for this action. But that doesn't mean he's clear in this the scales of Shemayim. And also people, when they wanted to drop support from David, like when Avshalom, his son, rebelled against him, it's a convenient excuse as well. You know, listen, David HaMelech, he had all these problems. Maybe Hashem doesn't want him to be Melech anymore. There was a whole mice with Hatsheva, and maybe Avshalom is really a better king. Because one of the things we talked about a few weeks ago is when his son rebels against him, how is it possible the people of Klal Yisrael supported rebellion against David? I mean, we had a whole shiur a couple of months ago on just the accomplishments of David HaMelech. And it's staggering. The people were, I don't even know how to express how amazed the people were and how intense their love for David was. He was the artist's artist. He was the warrior's warrior. He was the Talmud Chacham, the Tzadik, He was a general. He was everything. Right? It would have been hundreds of years in the making for there to be such a leader. He vanquished all their enemies. He brought the Aron back. And now for people, after all of this, to follow someone who was rebelling against David is very strange. You would think that Avshalom or whoever would try and rebel, and what would happen? People would say, are you kidding? You're rebelling against the Heilig of David HaMelech? What's wrong with you? Instead, people say, that seems like a good idea to me. I'll go along with you, Avshalom. All because of this. All because of the Maaseh with David, with Vashem. In fact, the rebellion of Avshalom is one of his direct punishments. The child that Bathsheba had from this died before it could even receive a bris. Right? David HaMelech suffered, and Chazal go over many of the punishments that David HaMelech suffered, all because of this. All because he didn't want to be David HaMelech, he wanted to be a Avram Avinu. But it's a mistake of the highest level of L'shem Shemayim, who was guided by such an intense love for Klal Yisrael. I'm sorry, you asked a simple question, I gave you like a 4-hour answer. Sorry about that, I tend to do that sometimes. Yeah, so not only did David HaMelech realize that he was wrong, everybody else realized he was wrong too, and you know, now we'd have to tell us a little bit more about what was wrong with what he did with Uriah as well, because that was a very public thing too when he set up Uriah to be killed in the war. All right, so technically Uriah was chai of Misa for rebelling against David. And so therefore, you know, he was subject to the death penalty anyway. But David HaMelech should have brought him before the Beis Din. But David HaMelech was afraid it would make a Chilul Hashem. He was afraid if he brings Uriah to a Beis Din, you know what it's going to look like? It's going to look like David HaMelech is trying to get back at Uriah and Machavita. So you know what? So you see how one thing leads to another. He said, okay, you know what? I have an idea of how it won't be such a Chilul Hashem. I'll send him out to the war, and he'll be killed that way. And then it won't be a big Chilul Hashem. Of course, it didn't quite work out that way. So now, with all of this publicity, the people, just one area that he was punished was the problems he had with Klal Yisrael losing occasional lapses of faith in David HaMelech. Which up until now, you don't really find David HaMelech's reign that the people had lapses like that in him. But at this point, you do find that. What was I going to say? Did you have another question? Avital, any questions?
He's the only prophet that we today honor in the same way. To know him is everywhere.
Correct.
His whole life. Everything that he did, no other prophet.
Nobody carries a Sefer of Shmuel with them everywhere they go.
Absolutely. Correct. And because of all the things and the challenges that he did, this is why we have to learn from him.
Correct.